In any event, our next guest is also fascinating. And tonight, the big Sal Pal Football Hour is from Ott's in Medford. And he joins us on the program right now. Of course, the great book, A Philly Special. And he covers the NFL like nobody else for ESPN.com. Brought to us by Univest Bank and Trustco. Financial solutions for your life, Mr. Sal Palantonio. Hello, Sal.
Michael, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You're hanging in there today. You seem annoyed and aggravated.
No. It's a couple callers have aggravated me, but I bounce back. All right, I'm paying tribute to Tiger Woods.
One play at a time. You know, you go to line of scrimmage, sometimes you get aggravated, sometimes you,
exactly.
you throw a touchdown.
So let's do the gravy sauce thing with you. What are you?
It's only according to what your mother called it.
Yeah.
Your mother called it sauce?
Yes.
It's sauce. If your mother called it gravy, it's gravy. My mother called it sauce.
Yeah, and so did mine.
Yeah, you know, spaghetti sauce. It just kind of rolled off the top. That's it.
Exactly.
That's what it was. It was spaghetti sauce. That's it.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about this football team. And first,
but I never tasted any spaghetti sauce that was anywhere near as good as my wife's spaghetti sauce.
Well, there you go.
Absolutely tremendous.
Now, how did she learn that?
She learned it from a woman named Mary D'Amato, who lived next door to us in Haddon Township, New Jersey. God mm-hmm. bless her. God rest her soul, Mary D'Amato.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned it from her. And it was all about, you know, the meat. You put have to put the veal in, and the meatballs go in.
And the pork. And that's the
and
flavor.
The pork. You got to get the flavor with the pork.
That's right. The pork has the flavor.
And the garlic. Absolutely. Got to have the right amount of garlic and a little bit of pinch of sugar in there, Mike.
Sure. That's the trick. That's his Clemenza trick.
That's the little bit of pinch of that sugar.
That's right.
And, you know, that's how you stay married for 39 years.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. Now, let's talk about, first of all, the Carson Wentz performance and your review of that in last week's game against the Colts, and then we look forward to the next game.
Well, you know, it was good to see that he could elude the rush, but there was too much rush. And that's got to stop. You know, you can't have Carson Wentz. This is a problem we talked about last year. You can't have this guy getting hit this much. Too many sacks, too many times getting hit. Too much rush, Mike. And there's a lot of different reasons for there being too much rush. He's holding on to the ball too long. Why? Guys are not open. Defense is just squeezing down on the Eagles because the Eagles can't throw the ball deep. They can't throw the ball deep because they don't have a real deep threat. Now, I did the radio sideline reporting for ESPN Radio. Bill Polian was up in the booth. And Jason Benetti was up in the booth. And I did the sideline. So I had a bird's eye view of the entire Eagles bench and the adjustments that they tried to make. But the bottom line, Michael, is, and I just heard you read Shil Kapadia's breakdown of the snap counts by formation. Which, you know, and Shil does a terrific job. And Shil is, obviously right on with his numbers. And it's about time they put Dallas Goedert onto the field with the two tight end sets because they didn't utilize him very much in the first 2 weeks of the season. So that has to happen. The problem is this, and I don't want people calling up on the Sal Pal Football Hour and getting all angry at me, but this is the Tony Romo, Jason Witten offense. Well, you're running it through the tight end, and you're matriculating slowly down the field, and you're not as explosive as you were last year. Last year, you scored 27 points a game. Now, right now, you're only scoring 19 points a game. Will it come back when Alshon Jeffrey's healthy? You hope so. Will it come back when Jay Ajayi is fully healthy? You hope so. I think the most important thing in the development of Carson Wentz, week in and week out, now as we go forward, is the ball's got to be pushed down the field. That's the key, successfully, or teams will continue to squeeze, they'll continue to hold on to the ball, and they'll continue to get hit.
Yeah, a lack of chunk plays, lack of dynamics. I found myself wishing that they had weapons on the field, and right now they don't, and they're going to have to do the long drives, the short passes, which they executed pretty well. 11, 12, 13, 17 play drives. This week, you expect the same?
Well, you know, the Indianapolis Colts have some real dynamic defensive players. This kid, Darius Leonard, the rookie Will linebacker, was playing a little cat and mouse with Carson Wentz. I was watching it on the field. Whenever Carson Wentz took the ball out of Corey Clement's belly, Darius Leonard came at him like a heat-seeking missile, ready to knock his block off. And he's fast, ferocious, tough. I don't see that on the Tennessee Titans. They also have, two of the best safeties in Hooker and Gathers. And they played really smart. They kept everything in front of them. And they were obviously ready for a lot of the things that the Eagles do because Frank Reich mm-hmm. knows that team inside and out. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect the Titans to be able to duplicate what the Colts did. They will try. They're in the same division. They watch the film very closely. The Colts are going to play it twice a year. They understand what the Colts do. Can they duplicate it? I don't think so. There's not really much to say that was wrong with Carson Wentz's performance. 9 months and 10 days from surgery, the kid performed valiantly, courageously. He was tough. But he took too many hits, Mike. He just did.
Yeah, he did take too many hits. He sacked 5 times. I was worried about the play where he scrambled and dove, parallel to the ground and then landed. I don't like to see that kind of situation.
No, who wants to see that? I don't think anybody wants to see that. But I guess Mike Trout must be teaching him how to slide. He did slide.
He did have that, but the one out of bounds was not a get on the butt slide. You can't hurt the butt. That's what I always look at.
No, you can't. As D.D. Gregorius just found out, it's better to slide butt first rather than hand first.
Yes.
I hate when these guys slide. If you're not Pete Rose, only Pete Rose could do it and bounce back up. Pete Rose seemed to be indestructible. Everybody else, slide feet first, please. If I were a manager of a Major League Baseball team or GM, you'd get fined for sliding. And I know they have these little, oven mitts now that they wear, but I'd start fining guys. I would. But by the way, Mike, I'm loath. Been on this show 10 years with you, 3 years with Doug Peterson now, year three. I never criticized Doug Peterson, but I don't understand why he tried that field goal. Yeah. And gave them that short field position. If he doesn't do that, I don't think the Colts score in the game.
You're right about that. And here's the interesting phenomenon, because we've been talking about this all day. The people now, that would have been picked apart even in a win last year. But now that they're Super Bowl champions, people are not like going over the little things that they would have done differently.
When you want to score 19 points a game, the little things matter. You just had a caller on talk about penalties. Mike, mm-hmm. I think you're wrong about the penalties. The penalties are not a good thing.
You can't have 10.
You can't have penalties like that. You give the average drive start for the Colts was their own 36. For the Eagles, it was their own 22. Any other team that had full complement of players that was not an Andrew Luck could only throw the ball 25 yards down the field. I don't think the Eagles win the game. I really don't.
Yeah.
Considering the penalties and the two red zone turnovers. By the way, as much as we like to talk about Carson Wentz's performance in that game, I think the MVP after three weeks this year is Fletcher Cox. I do.
Yeah, he's been stout.
He's on the field 87% of the snaps after 3 weeks, Mike. 87% for a defensive tackle mm-hmm. in a rotational situation like Jim Schwartz has. I never saw him come off the field. And it's pretty interesting because even though his numbers in terms of hits or sacks are not off the charts, what he's doing with his presence on the field is he's forcing the guy at the center position, whoever it might be, to make a decision about the double team. They got to double team Cox, and that means that somebody else is going to be open to get at the quarterback. I interviewed him after the game on the field, and he was huffing and puffing like he ran a marathon.
Yeah, well, if they're double teaming, they got to get more pressure on the quarterback. Last question, is Alshon back?
Good question. We'll find out later in the week. I think he's getting closer. There's no question about it. I saw him on the field working out, and he looked pretty good. He looked pretty good. He was catching the ball. He was moving around pretty good. But, like we said before, you're not going to know anything until he gets it. Even if he comes back, he's got to get into a game. He's got to stretch for the ball. Somebody's got to bury their helmet in his ribs, and then we'll know.
All right. What do we have on the Sal Pal Hour tonight?
We got a lot of good stuff. We got special guests. I'm going to give away a copy of this new book, Birds of Prey, the foreword by Carson Wentz. It's by Rob Motti, our good friend, and the foreword's by Carson Wentz. If you come to us on Stokes Road in Medford, you put your business card in the box, Coach Camille will pick out the business card about the bottom of the hour, and we will give away a copy of Rob Motti's book, Birds of Prey, with the foreword by Carson Wentz, to somebody at the restaurant tonight. Great place, by the way.
Sounds good. Otts in Medford, Sal Pal Football Hour. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you.
All right, talk to you.
There he is, Sal Pal.